Great church, great rebrand, great logo, brilliant website, great vision, Generations Church. What a name. You guys are going places. Of course, I wouldn't have expected anything else with Joe at the helm. But James, well done, you. Because my husband's a designer, graphic designer, and he does all our website and all our rebrands and stuff like that. And you've got a gift. You got a real gift. And last night I was, well done. Last night I was talking to God and you came into my head. I don't know you. I know that you're here and I know of you. But you came into my head and my heart and then I got the words tectonic plate, which was definitely not from me because I haven't got a clue what a tectonic plate is. So I looked it up. So if there's any geologists in the room, you can shout me down in a minute, but this is kind of just what I took from it. It's the Earth's outer shell. It's a modern version of the continental shift. That's what it used to be called, and I called the tectonic plates. It says the plates move, and it's like a pot boiling on a stove. And when the heat gets turned up, the plates shift. And I felt like God say, there's been a shift for you. The tectonic plates have shifted. God has turned up the heat and taken it to a boiling point, and you've shifted. That's all I've got. So I'm not going to expand on it. I'm not going to try and pretend that I've got anything more. But a shift has come. There's been a movement for you, probably your ministry, your life. Yeah. Okay. Should we crack on? Because I've sung and I've, let's do something different. In the 17th century, Sir Isaac Newton said, if I have seen further, it's by standing on the shoulders of giants. And if you're taking notes this morning, that's the title of the message, Standing on the Shoulders of Giants. And growing up, when I was a little girl, I used to love sitting on my daddy's shoulders. He was 6'3¾". He loved saying that. I don't know why I just didn't round it up to four, but he was 6'3¾". And I loved sitting on his shoulders because when I sat on his shoulders as like 3 or 4 year old, I could see so much further than I could see when I was just on the ground. And especially when we used to go to forest, back in the day when it was all terrace and little kids would take their milk trays and stand on them, I didn't need to because I got to sit on my daddy's shoulders. And you get a much better perspective of a game when you're on someone's shoulders than you do when you're in a terrace where everyone else is up there and you're down there and you can't even see the pitch. There's something about being able to see a little bit further. It's the same when you go and sit on the top of a hill. You get a bigger perspective. Everything looks different. You can see further. A bit like when you go in the penthouse, if you ever get the privilege, or when you go up in a plane. It's just a bigger picture. And as I was growing up and I got a little bit heavier and a little bit bigger, I couldn't physically sit on my daddy's shoulders anymore. I had to stand up for myself. But metaphorically, people came along my path that would allow me to sit on their shoulders, allow me to see further than they could ever see. And there are a number of people that really touched my life, and one of them was my youth pastors. They had such a profound effect on my life because they were always for me. They were for everyone, but it was like I was the only person in the youth group. They would spend time with me. They would invest in me. They would say things to me like, you'd make a brilliant youth pastor. You could do this one day. And when people like that say things to you, you start to believe it. And 15 years later, I became a youth pastor. Wow. They had a profound effect on my life. They wanted me to be better than they could ever be. So they kept putting me in positions where I could see a little bit further. They encouraged me. My mum and dad were the same. So growing up, we moved every 2 years, which meant I was in a different school. So by the time I left school at 16, I'd been in 9 schools. So I was on a different syllabus. I moved from England to Scotland. I was in a completely different year for 2 years. And so when I left school, because I hadn't had a very good, stable education, I left with, you guys won't have heard of this, but they were called CSEs once. I left with 3 CSE grades 1s, which is the equivalent of a GCSE. No, yeah, an O-level C. So that's like a GCSE C. So I thought I was thick. And then we arrive in Nottingham, and I had to go to college, I had to reset everything because I didn't pass anything. But when I was in my when I'd done my research, then I went to do a BTEC in business. And while I was on that, my lecturer said to me, you should think about doing an A-level business studies alongside your BTEC. Because I think that would really help you. And I'm thinking, I can't do that, I'm thick. But he encouraged me. And on my first essay in my A-level business studies, he wrote on this piece of paper, if you continue at this standard, you should think about going to university. Now, 3 CSE grade ones, like, I'm not a university student. But lo and behold, 5 years later, I come out with not only a degree, but a master's. Because that teacher believed in me. If he had not put those things, I would not have got where I'd got to in my education. And then, of course, most of you in this room will know John Pettifer. Why is everyone laughing? John Pettifer saw something in Ali and I that nobody else saw. I was in a church where they didn't believe in women in ministry. I wasn't allowed to minister. I was allowed to go and teach the children and run the creche and do some refreshments. But I wasn't allowed to take the communion round. I wasn't allowed to lead a meeting. Wasn't allowed to preach. But John saw something in us. John believed in us. I think by this point, I actually had started to believe in myself. And I knew there was something. But it took a John Pettifer to come into my life to say to me, stand on my shoulders. I want you to see a little bit further. Because I think there's more in you than you can see. And if you come out of this contained environment that you're in, you'll see it even further than that. And so we left the church that we were in. We went, well, we did it the right way. And we went and sat at his feet for three and a half years. And that was 3.5 years of him knocking stuff out of us, building our character, but also telling us, you can do anything you put your mind to. We need these kind of people in our lives, people that believe in us. They were giants for me. I could see further, dream bigger. They championed me on. I'll never forget hearing the story of a teacher who really loved her pupils, and she was the one who got to take all the ones that had been kicked out of their lessons. So she had all the really bad kids. And it was the final year. And in her final year, on her final day, she was going to retire. But within the classroom, she said, I want you to write your name on the top of the sheet. And then we're going to pass this sheet round, and all of you are going to write something encouraging about that person. And I will sign it off, and I will put my little encouraging note on the bottom. And that's what they did. 20 years later, the same pupils that had been in her class had a reunion. And the guy that had organized it got up to speak, and he said, I only stand here today because one teacher and this classroom believed in me. And he pulled out the piece of paper where everyone had written something cool about him. And one by one, everybody got up to share how their lives had turned out. Every single one of them had succeeded. And every single one of them still had the pieces of paper with them that had written 20 years before. There's power in words. There's power when people can say, I believe in you. I've got a little clip that I want to show you. It's literally 1:30, and then we'll crack on.
Ian's still the highest scoring striker ever to play for Arsenal, and he owes a lot to the man who first taught him to kick a ball, his old school teacher, Sid Pigden.
As I haven't seen him for, 23, 24 years, and so he would now be expecting me to be 6 feet under, I would think. I don't actually think, he probably won't recognise me because he won't believe it's me. Hello, Ian. Long time no see.
Mr. Pigden. You're alive.
I'm alive, he says. How are you doing?
I can't believe it. Someone said you was dead.
As you see, I'm very passionate, and I'm so glad you've done so well with yourself.
He was so supportive all the time. He kind of like had me as his kind of like special guy.
I don't know what to say. God, I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
You know, now I realize how important he was in my life. The first main imposing figure, male figure in my life who was trying to guide me on the right road.
How far are we going back now? 40 years? 30
easy,
years anyway.
Easy. 32 years.
Yeah.
Gets me every time. Everybody needs a Sig Pigden in their life. Ian Wright's a famous footballer who played for Arsenal. You remember, you used to think about who influenced you growing up. Just take a minute to think about who's been a powerful force in your life. And for some of you, you may sit here and think, I haven't had anybody. Never has anyone encouraged me. Well, you know what? That is tragic. But it doesn't mean that you can't then turn around and do it for somebody else. That's a choice. And I want to encourage you today, if that's you. Because I want to bring a generational message to Generations Church with an emphasis on the spiritual mums and dads in the house, the spiritual grandmothers and grandfathers in the house. Because you see, I needed the older generation in my life. I needed them to encourage me. I needed them to spur me on. And I am who I am today because of them. But I want you guys to be that for the younger generation in this church. That tectonic plate thing, I'm wondering now whether that went for you. I'm thinking, is this a church thing? Is there going to be a shift within the church this morning? But in the same way that we, I'm talking like the over 40s, over 50s. We as the older generation, because we're a little bit older than the younger ones. My prayer is that you younger ones will see something in us. Yeah. You'll want a bit of what we've got. That you won't think, you know, how can they possibly have anything that I could need? How can they possibly understand the generation that we live in? You need to recognize the generations above you. You need to see the worth of what you've got in this place. These mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers in the faith. Because they can help you on your journey. We may be older. We may not dress the same. We may not look the same. We may not think about the same things. We may not like the same music. It might be a completely different culture. Might have a few grey hairs, a few wrinkles, a bit of saggy skin, and maybe some things going south. But you know what? We also have something called life experience. Some of the places that some of you younger ones are in right now, guess what? We've already stood there. And guess what? We came out the other side. We're still alive. We learned something in the process. And we've got something that we can offer you. And it's important that you recognize that. I have seriously, seriously stuffed up in a number of areas in my life. But in one sense, they made me who I am. Because I learned from them. Sometimes I wonder, if you don't stuff up, how do you ever learn? But because I've stuffed up in a number of areas, there are certain things in me that I know that I need to share with younger people because I don't want them to go through some of the consequences that I had to suffer. And sometimes we're a little bit thick to catch on, but you know when someone has been through something and they say, don't do it, because this is what happens, and then you do it anyway. It's a bit thick, isn't it? Why can't we just learn from the people who have already been there and done it and worn the T-shirt and come through the other end and not do it in the first place? For me, one of the worst things that I experienced was sexual sin. As a teenager, I went completely off the rails. I was in a Christian family. I did so many things that I shouldn't. In fact, I did everything that I shouldn't have done. Everything I'd ever been taught not to do, I did. That was not the fault of my parents. So if you're a parent here and you've got a young person and you think they're not walking in the way of God, that's not your fault. It's a choice. I made a choice at 17 that I was going to decide to not live for God. But I have suffered the consequences of sexual sin for years and years and years. It's not just that, oh, you might get pregnant and you might get an STD. There is so much more to it than that. And I want people to know that because I don't want anyone to go through what I went through. I want to equip the generations. Let's equip the younger ones with the experience and the wisdom that we've gleaned. Let's encourage them like any good parent would, yeah? So we're family, right? So here's a verse for you younger ones. Let's just classify it as under 40, okay, just as a generalization. So unlucky, the just over 40s. Exodus 20:12 says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long and it will go well for you in the land. Here's a commandment, the only one with a condition attached to it. If you do this, I will do this. If you honor your mother and father, you will live long in the land. If you don't, guess what? Not going to be the best life. When you can learn to honor the older generations, you get a reward. Let's live for the rewards. Let's live for everything that God's got for us. Many of you know my husband, Ali. He's spoken here before. But we've always maintained that nothing would make us happier than to see the people underneath us, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, I just mean we're the leaders of the church, the people in our church that serve alongside us. Nothing would make us happier for them to go further than we ever have, for them to actually take our jobs off us. We are actually working ourselves out of our jobs. That's what we're trying to do. Because even if we do work ourselves out of a job, you reap what you sow. So if they end up taking our position, guess what? God will have something different for us and it'll be even better because that's the way he works. I know that's your heart. Joe and I are kindred spirits. But for this to happen, there has to be an intentional pouring out from the mums and dads in this church, the grandmothers, the grandfathers. There has to be an intention to raise up this younger generation. There has to be an intention from us over 40s to allow these younger ones to stand on our shoulders and to see further. Bannon Liebscher from Jesus Culture said this, I am thoroughly convinced that the younger generation needs to understand covering and spiritual authority and that it's imperative to be connected to spiritual mums and dads if they're going to be victorious. I wholeheartedly agree with that statement. I know it because I've experienced it in my own life. But I'm going to back that statement up. We're going to read this morning from the Old Testament about Moses and Joshua. So I'm reading from Exodus 17, 8 to 16. And forgive me, but I can't remember what version I wrote down. It might be something called The Voice, which is quite a new contemporary version. You got that one? It's ace, isn't it? Everyone should get The Voice. It's great. Did you know there's a new one coming out as well called The Passion? The Passion Translation. It's about 5 years in. There's not many books done yet, but I reckon by 2021, the whole thing will be done. Something like that. It's great. Okay, Exodus 17, 8 to 16 says this. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. He said, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. Now in this story, we can see that the older and the younger generations have to come together to overcome. You've got Moses as the older person who provided the authority and the power. But Joshua, as the younger one, he had the courage and the bravery and the physical ability and the skills to go out to war. But it was because of both of them that they got the victory. They couldn't have done it if they hadn't had the other. And just before Moses is about to die, the Bible tells us that he lays hands on Joshua as his protege so that Joshua is full of the Spirit of wisdom. And because of this, the people then begin to choose to listen to Joshua just as they listened to Moses. So Moses imparts to Joshua the same authority and power that God's given him that he's been blessed with. And that's exactly what I know you want to do in this church. There needs to be an impartation of our power and authority in the older ones to be handed down to the younger ones, so that we can just continue the generations on and on. A similar thing happens between the prophet Elijah and his protege, Elisha. So before Elijah dies, Elisha asks him for a double portion of his spirit. In 2 Kings 2:9, it says this in the Message. When they reach the other side, Elijah says to Elisha, "What can I do for you before I'm taken from you? You can ask anything of me." So Elisha says, "I want your life repeated in my life, and I want to be a holy man just like you. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." Elisha earns the right to wear Elijah's mantle because he recognized the spiritual authority on his life. He recognized that this guy was a lot further down the journey than he was, and he actively pursued a relationship with him. I would encourage you younger ones to actively pursue a relationship with someone older than you. Even if they're not in the 40s, they might be in the 20s. That's, you know, they're still further down the line than you guys are. But he honored him and he served him. Some may say that he idolized him. Now we know that, you know, the Bible says, do not make any idol. Don't put anyone on a pedestal. You know, as leaders, we often get put on pedestals. Well, guess what? The pedestal often comes falling down because we will always let you down. We don't want to. It's never our intention. But you just can't manage people's expectations. So don't idolize your leader. Don't idolize Pastor Joe. But you know what? You can glean from her because she's the one given the power and the authority and the wisdom to lead this church. And she's got a lot to offer and a lot to give. Follow God in her. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." Imitate her faith. She's got a great faith. In fact, she's probably got more faith than any other leader I know. Some of the things that she's endured have only made her faith stronger. You can follow God in that woman. You have to be willing to submit to the authority above you. That's the only way you'll be blessed. So Elisha caught Elijah's mantle. He caught his anointing. But it was because first he received his instructions. He did what Elijah asked of him. Do what your leaders ask of you. If we don't allow the younger ones to catch our anointing, we will never be able to hand a baton on. And if the baton isn't handed on well, the church is not going to operate well. And if the baton isn't handed on at all, the church will die. We've got to hand the baton on. So you younger ones, you need to place yourself at the older people's feet. Come and pick their brains. Come and glean from their wisdom. Ask them their testimonies. Find out about their lives. You know, what job did you do? Spend some time with them. Listen to their experiences. Learn the best way to do something. Learn from their mistakes so you don't have to go through them. I love and honor the generations above me. I can't think of anyone in our church that if I went and approached them, they wouldn't want to share something with me. Everybody loves it when people want a piece of them. Everybody's ready to say, "Oh yeah, I went through this and this is what happened and this is what you shouldn't do." Make use of people. When Ali and I had our commissioning service as we launched The Rock, just coming up for 6 years now, 6 years in June. Wow. Some of the elders and the ministers of the Christian Center in Nottingham where we'd come out of, they came and they prayed over us. And one of the ministers was called Clyde Sandry. And they got us to actually kneel down on the floor as if they were literally getting a sword and anointing us. But as I was going to kneel, I said to Clyde, "I want a double portion of your spirit." And you know what? I have to believe that I've received that. Sometimes it doesn't feel like I'm walking in his anointing at all. But I believe for that. And I want you guys to believe for stuff like that. Moses was an incredible spiritual father. He believed in Joshua. He loved him. He wanted him to succeed. And that day when they won the battle against the Amalekites, he let Joshua take all the credit and all the glory. It even says in the Bible, Joshua overcame. But there were two people there. If Moses hadn't stuck his hands in the air for goodness knows how long, Joshua wouldn't have overcome. But Moses allowed Joshua to take all the glory. Guys, us older ones, we've got to be secure enough to let the younger ones surpass us. Pick them up when they do something good. Don't worry that it's not you that's getting the glory. You know, kind of, we've had our time. Yes, we can still be affirmed. And yes, God's still got zillions of things for us to do. But there has to be an intention to allow the younger ones to go further than us. Romans 10:12 says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself." The Message puts it this way: practice playing second fiddle. practice playing second fiddle. You know, it's not easy. It's not like there's a cut-off point where we say, right, well, I'm over 40 now, so now I've got to practice playing fiddle and it's not my time and it's not my turn. It's not easy. But if we want our churches to grow, if we want to attract a generation that isn't coming to church, something has to shift. The tectonic plates have got to move. A couple of years ago, I was playing with my kids and I did something. I was like, oh, I'm so cool. And Chloe was about 12 and she says, when an old person says they're cool, they're so not cool. Told me. You see, I want to be hip and down with the kids, but the reality is, I'm 44. I've had my time. I've had my turn. You know, I loved being a youth pastor when I was in my 20s and my 30s. But it's not my time. Could I do it? Yeah, because I've done it. So I've got the wisdom, I've got the experience, I've got the knowledge, I've got the notes. But it's not my time. It's not my turn. It's a baton-handing thing. It's somebody else's turn. It's Wes's turn. It's Corey's turn. It's whoever they're investing into to raise up. We should want the generations below us to be able to stand on our shoulders. I want to give the people in my church that are younger than me everything that God's ever given me. Every note I've ever written, everything I've ever gleaned, any bit of wisdom that I've taken from anywhere, I want to be sharing it with the generation below me. I want them to be twice as good as I ever was. I want their ministries to be twice as large as mine will ever be. I want to pray for them. I want to hold their arms up when they get tired. I want them to be so much better than I ever was. I want to see them operating in their gifts and their strengths. Why? Because I want to see the kingdom of God in operation on the earth. I want to see God move in the younger people's lives in a greater way than he did in mine. And he's done some great stuff for me. And the most amazing thing is, you know, when that happens, you can sit back and you can say, I had a hand in that. I got to invest. I had the privilege and the honor of being a part of that person's life. You get a little bit of the credit, not from man, but from God. And you have to wonder, how many crowns are we going to have in heaven one day if God can recognize that we care more about other people than we do about ourselves? But I believe the older people in this house, you have a mandate to release and bless the younger ones, and it will glorify God. The rewards for this church will come. Harry Truman said this, it's amazing what you can accomplish when you don't care who gets the credit. I don't care who gets the credit. Actually, that's a lie. I do care. I don't want it to be me. Joe doesn't want it to be her. Matt doesn't want it to be him. We want it to be the younger generation working together. So to you younger ones, 1 Peter 5:5 says, younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Blech, submit, that submit word. Do you know what? It's easy to submit when these people love you the way they do. It's not a hard task in this church, I'm telling you. I've been in some churches where, yeah, anyway, I won't go there. It carries on. Be submissive and clothed in humility. Honour the older generations. That word honour means heaviness. It's a weightiness. It's to attribute a sense of weightiness, of solidness, of high respect. It's to hold someone in great esteem. You younger ones need to hold some of these old people in high esteem. The things that they've been through, the things that they've seen, the things that they've done, they deserve to be honored for that. Yeah. Recognize it. Honor the gold in the spiritual mums and dads in the house. When I was heading up Beloved, which was a women's ministry at the church that I came out of, every time we had an event, something went wrong. It was like a spiritual attack every time. And one particular event, I was having my boss come in as a guest speaker. And my boss is an entrepreneur. He's a motivational speaker. He's a networker. And I used to go around the country and listen to all his talks. He's utterly phenomenal at what he does. And fortunately, he is a Christian. So I said to him, will you come and just G up the women and motivate us and just share some of your things with us? And so he came to speak to the women. And the day before he came, one of the elders' wives at the church approached me, who I didn't know, and just said, can you verify this man? I was like, excuse me? She said, can you confirm to me and put an ease in my spirit that this man is going to do a good job tomorrow night because I am bringing some non-Christians? And I was like, absolutely. Worked for him for 3 years, seen loads of his talks. He's utterly phenomenal. That was the end of the conversation. It was very daunting. The following night, we had the evening. My boss got up to speak. The first word out of his mouth was a swear word, which I'd never heard him swear before. And then he carried on with a blue joke. At which point, I'm sliding down my chair thinking, he's got another half an hour. What do I do? I let him go. At the end of the meeting, I just want to run out the building. I do not want to pay the bill. I just want to leg it. The elder's wife approaches me. So if I'm here, I can see her over there in the corner, and she's marching. I'm thinking, I'm done for. This is it. It's the end of the world. It's the end of my ministry. I'm going to be sacked. I'm going to be thrown out of the church. It's all going to go horribly wrong. And she came up to me and she said, Kate, don't worry. I can see what this is. I can see straight through the enemy attack. And this is what I want to do for you, if you will allow me to. This is an elder's wife talking to me. She's probably 20 years my senior. If you will allow me to, I would love to set up an intercessory prayer team. And before every conference that you put on, I will be praying with a team of about 10 women. And if you want, we will come in and we will lay hands on you and your team before the evening. Wow. I want to be like that elder's wife. Wow. Us older ones, we need to be like Moses, who brings the authority and the power and the wisdom. And you younger ones, you need to be like Joshua, who was brave and courageous. He stepped out. He believed for bigger things. And courage is contagious. Billy Graham once said, when a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened. Wow. When you younger ones start stepping out and doing some great stuff for God, others will start to follow suit. You see, you younger ones, you're far less fearless than we are. Don't ever take me to the ice skating rink ever again. It was okay when I was 16, but at 44, never again. Alton Towers, I'm an absolute adrenaline junkie. I love rides. A couple of years ago, the Smiler came out, and there's been some bad press about the Smiler. So I took my son, got all excited, got on the ride. Well, when it started going up the first click, 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 where you're literally that far back, I thought I was going to die. Literally thought, it's going to stop, it's going to fall backwards, and I'm going to be squashed on the floor. I was absolutely petrified. And I realised, I think I'm getting a little bit older. Don't want to, don't know where it's crept up from, but it's happened. There are some rides at Alton Towers that I still love, but I'm never, ever going on the Smiler ever again. It was awful, horrific experience. But you young and fearless ones, you can do anything. Yeah. You can be anything. Yeah. You can go anywhere. The world is literally your oyster. So step out and step up. Because you know what? You can do it knowing in confidence that this church has got your backs. Yeah. They've got your backs. They want the best for you. You know, you might have something burning in you. You might have a new ministry that you want to bring to this church. Go and see Joe. Yeah. I bet she'll love it. I can't remember where I was, but I remember Paul Scanlon from Life Church, ex-Abundant Life Church, speaking about the ministries in his church. And this young girl, who I think she was about 16, had gone up to him and said, I haven't got many gifts, but there's one thing that I can do, and it's to paint nails. And she said, I would love to just be able to go into the prison, to the women's prison, and paint nails. So he let her. And 2 years down the line, that girl has got a team. They go into a prison every single Sunday. The guards hand her the keys and go off duty for 2 hours. That's how well she's done. That's how well respected she is. That's how much it's done for the women in the prison. How amazing is that? Whatever you've got in your hand, this woman needs to know about it. Psalm 45, 16 to 17 says this. And I think this is a prophetic word over the house this morning. Set your mind now on sons. Don't dote on father and grandfather. You will set your sons, and let's include the daughters, you will set your sons and your daughters up as princes and princesses all over the earth. I will make you famous for generations. You will be the talk of the town for a long, long time. Wow. A few months ago, we've got two girls in our church who are at Mattersea, which is the Bible college of our denomination. And we're just pushing them out there now, getting them leading meetings, starting to preach. So they did the, we gave them 15 minutes each. And quite a few visitors in the house that night. So it's a risk when you put anyone on your platform. But it's a calculated risk. And you know what? If it goes wrong, then we can take the rap, right? We can just take the rap. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. Church ain't going to die. Anyway, they were utterly phenomenal. And I overheard a conversation between a visiting minister and his wife who have just gone on sabbatical. And I heard him say to her, "What did you think of those girls?" And she said, well, something along the lines of, well, it was a bit bittersweet, to be fair, because I thought they were absolutely brilliant. And I love the fact that they were enthusiastic and vibrant and edgy. But the deal is, I now have to go back to my own church and listen to you every week. Maybe that church needs to start releasing a few more young people in their church. Give them the platform, yeah. So I want to do something a little bit different this morning. I've finished what I want to say. But if we are going to see this shift, and forgive me, I thoroughly believe that it's already happening. I'm almost just putting a rubber stamp on something this morning because I know these two. I know their hearts. But what I would like to do is, if this word has resonated with you over 40s, I would like you in a minute to come out the front and form a prayer tunnel. So there's going to be one of you here and one of you there, and you're going to put your arms in the air and you're going to form a tunnel. And if you younger ones like what you've heard today, and you can say, yes, I respect these older ones. I can see that there's something that I want to glean. I can see that there's an anointing on them that they can pass down to me. I want you guys to walk through the prayer tunnel so that all of you are going to be prayed over as you walk slowly through the tunnel. And we're going to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to come and something is going to happen in this room this morning. Are we good with that? I hope we are, because my message will completely bomb if nobody comes out. So right now, you over 40s, if you believe in this message, if you believe in the generations below you, if you know that you want to bless them, you want to see lives changed, let's have you out the front. Could get a bit messy, but that's all right.